Welcome to Devotionary and our study of the Book of Esther, called Immortal, Invisible. In this episode, we'll be looking at Esther chapter 8, verses 3 through 8. It's called Well Worth the Risk, and we'll cover the days immediately following Haman's death as Esther continues to deal with the looming impact of the king's edict, calling for the destruction of all the Jews in the kingdom of Persia. Only 8 months remain until that fateful day. But that would be plenty of time for God to implement a plan that would result in their redemption rather than their annihilation. Be sure and read the passage when you get the opportunity. The Jews are still at risk, so let's see what God is going to do. Haman was dead, but Esther's work was not yet done. The enemy had been defeated, but the king's edict was still in effect. There was still a date set in the calendar when all the Jews in the kingdom would be wiped out. That had been the real motivation behind Esther's fast and the two feasts she had prepared for the king and Haman. And now she makes her intentions clearly known to the king. In chapter 8, verses 5 through 6, Esther says to the king, "If it please the king, and if I have found favor with him, and if he thinks it is right, and if I am pleasing to him, let there be a decree that reverses the orders of Haman, son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, who ordered that Jews throughout all the king's provinces should be destroyed. For how can I endure to see my people and my family slaughtered and destroyed?" Esther prefaces her request with four conditional statements. If I please the king, if I have found favor with him, if he thinks it is right, and if I am pleasing to him. She is an astute student of her husband. She knows that she's going to have to make every effort to appeal to his pride and feed his obsession with power and control. What she is asking cannot come across as a demand. She may not have fully understood Persian law, as will shortly be revealed, but she did understand her somewhat temperamental husband. Anything that came across as a criticism of his rule or a question of his integrity would backfire. But Esther didn't pull any punches. She boldly stated what she wanted, the rescinding of Haman's former edict. But that was going to prove impossible. According to Persian law, an edict of the king was irrevocable. Not even the king could overturn one of his own decrees once it had been issued. But the king did the next best thing. He offered Esther the opportunity to write another edict that could counteract the first decree. Esther 8 verse 8 tells us, "Now go ahead and send a message to the Jews in the king's name, telling them whatever you want, and seal it with the king's signet ring. But remember that whatever has already been written in the king's name and sealed with his signet ring can never be revoked." Haman's original decree, which called for the entire Jewish population in Persia to be wiped out, was predicated on a single day on the calendar. It was on that date that the mass execution was to take place. But all was not lost. There was still time. And the king, although a pagan, was giving Esther and Mordecai advice and the power to put a plan into place that would thwart the plans of Haman and preserve the people of God. Once again, we see divine providence moving behind the scenes, orchestrating events and controlling the affairs of men in such a way that the will of God is accomplished. Haman was dead, but the threat against the Jews was still real. His death had not eliminated the edict, but it had elevated Esther and Mordecai in the eyes of the king. He had given the signet ring, once worn by Haman, to Mordecai, and with the ring came power. It was to prove the key to thwarting the plans of Haman and preserving the people of God. According to the original edict, the date set for the official extermination of the Jews was March 7th, 473 BC. That was a mere 8 months away, but it would prove ample time for God to put together a plan to rescue the Jews. Yes, he could have done it in a day. He could have simply wiped out the Persians and miraculously delivered the Jews as he had done so many times before. But as he had with Esther and Mordecai, God was going to use the Jews themselves to accomplish his deliverance. They were going to play a major role in their own rescue. He was the moving force behind all that was going on, but they would not be mere spectators. Mordecai and Esther had been expected to play their parts. They had immersed themselves in the story, taking great risks and allowing themselves to be used by God. When David killed Goliath, he took great risks. He faced a much larger foe with far less impressive weapons, but he succeeded. Moses risked all by standing up against Pharaoh and the gods of Egypt, but he too proved successful. Jesus risked it all by standing up against the religious leaders of his day and the powerful forces of Roman rule. And while he died for his efforts, he was successful in accomplishing the will of his Father. His death brought life. His sacrifice made salvation possible for sinful men. God works through his people. He displays his might through the weak, the powerless, the unimpressive, and the unlikely. God used Mordecai, a nondescript Jew. He used Esther, a young orphan recognized for her beauty but remembered for her faith. And God wants to use you.